Let's just bow our heads as we pray together. Dear Lord, we just pray for your presence now as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we have come to yet another new year. 2018. I guess many of us would never have thought we would have made it this far. I, for one, never thought that. In fact, I thought 30 years ago that Jesus would have come long before this, and I'd never see this time. But my friends, God knows the time. He knows the time. And for some of us, perhaps, we're growing weary. Perhaps we're wondering if this really is going to happen, if Jesus' promise really is true. I believe with all my heart Jesus' promise is still true. He knows the time and the hour of his return. So here we are in a new year, 2018. What is our task as God's people? What does God want us to do in this new year? You know, I've entitled the sermon today, Making the Most of Every Opportunity. Looking at our scripture text again, I just want to read it through with you again, because this is a very powerful text. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. Be very careful, the Apostle Paul says. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, you don't need me to tell you, we live in very difficult times today. We are surrounded by economic uncertainty, property prices, jobs or lack of them, savings, pensions. Everything is uncertain in the monetary system. There is political uncertainty. We talk about Brexit, the housing crisis, North Korea, Donald Trump, loss of faith in government, fake news. We live in a world of moral breakdown, abuse scandals, MPs, famous figures. We live in a time when everything seems mixed up and turned upside down, opposite from what God's word is trying to teach us. We see that there is war and terrorism on every side. There is a refugee crisis, even as I talk. There continues to be geographical disasters. Last year, we saw earthquakes in Iran and Italy, to name just two. We saw forest fires. We saw floods. This world is in agitation. But of course, we as Adventists, we know that. We've been preaching this for a long time now. But have you noticed things have got worse? Things have become more difficult. Things are becoming more confused. People are not sure anymore on certainties that are based on biblical values. Sexual orientation has gone haywire. There is confusion everywhere in our world today. As a result, sadly, more people than ever are suffering from depression, anxiety, panic attacks. The taking of antidepressant pills is at a new high. Modern gadgets and social media sites have indeed increased the problem. There was the thought that by having special gadgets, mobile phones, internet, computers, this would solve all of our problems. But it's made matters worse, my friends. How true are the words of Jesus as he spoke about the end times? He said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, he said, on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity. That is true, isn't it? Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So I come back to the question. As God's people, as we come into a new year, how should we live in times like these? I believe our text for today offers us three solutions, each one filled with clear direction for the days to come. You see, we face a strange situation in the world today. It's a seeming contradiction. Indeed, things are getting worse. But having said that, there are great opportunities for the people of God. So the question is, should we be optimists or pessimists? Let's have a look how this scripture can help us. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. The first point being made here is to be very careful, or to watch your step. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. To be careful means literally to walk accurately or precisely. The King James uses the old word circumspectly, walk circumspectly. It has the idea of walking on a narrow path along the side of a steep mountain. Keep your eyes open lest you take a wrong step and plunge to your death. In other words, we have to be very careful in the way in which we live. We have to perhaps take a step back and see where our lives are going. Examine where our lives are going. One of the problems of our age today is that it is too fast. We live in an age of fast food. Everything is fast. And sometimes even we as Christians are guilty of living too fast. We take too many snap judgments, too many hasty decisions. We speak too fast. We move too fast. We react too fast. We answer before we hear the question. We just keep on pressing the throttle of life forward because we've got too much on our plate and we dare not slow down. We want to right the wrongs of the world too fast. We want to try to win the world too fast. We speak too quickly. Our words sometimes are hasty and ill-timed. We go before we're ready, speak before we have anything to say, teach before we're taught, and build high before we build deep. I believe it is the devil's plan to get us into a rush and a hurry. To hurry ourselves, to hurry our minds, so that we have no time to dig deep. When was the last time you seriously studied the Word of God? When was the last time you took time to open the Word and to hear God's voice to you? You know, my friends, the answer of life doesn't lie in buying a planner or getting organized, as important as that is. But the ancient words of the psalmist come back to us. Be still and know that I am God. When we slow down enough to get God involved, we discover that he can do more through us than we can ever accomplish on our own. It's interesting that when Jesus ascended up to heaven, and in those days of uncertainty, in those days where there seemed to be a gap, Jesus told his disciples to wait. Not to do anything, but simply wait and pray. To wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And my friends, I believe that's our greatest need today. It's my greatest need today. Not to do too much, even good things, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul says we need to be careful. We need to be wise. And the wisest thing we can do is to be still before God and wait for the outpouring of his Spirit upon us. So we need to be careful. Number two, we need to redeem the time. In other words, make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. And this was the Apostle Paul speaking. It's what Martin Luther King meant when he told the vast crowd gathered at the Lincoln Memorial on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on a hot August day in 1963. He said, "We have come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now." Note that phrase, the fierce urgency of now. My friends, we live in a time of fierce urgency. But that doesn't mean we should be rushing and hurrying. Because the times are urgent, we need to wait upon our God. We need to redeem the time. We need to make the most of every opportunity. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote these words while chained to the guards in a Roman jail. The emperor was a man by the name of Nero, a perverted excuse for a king. Before too long, he would set fire to Rome and blame the Christians. Later, he would order Paul to be beheaded. Ephesus was a city wholly given over to heathenism. In Paul's day, it was the most important city in the Roman province of Asia. Located near the coast, Ephesus served as a center for international commerce. It was a prosperous, bustling, booming city. If there had been a travel guide to Ephesus in the first century, it would have mentioned the famous temple of Artemis. That was the glory of ancient Ephesus. Artemis was called Diana by the Romans, but they referred to the same thing. Artemis was the goddess of sex. Her temple was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The central portion contained a statue of a woman with many breasts, symbolizing unfettered sexual freedom. The people worked themselves up into a religious frenzy and then followed their lustful desires. One ancient writer said of the Ephesians, their morals were lower than animals. Astrology, black magic, sorcery, joined with sexual perversion to produce a degraded form of idolatry that held the ancient Ephesus in its grip. Any similarity to today? Meanwhile, the clouds of persecution are rolling in on the horizon. As the gospel spread, it encountered opposition in the form of entrenched heresy, threatening to undermine the purity of the gospel. That's why Paul said, "We live in evil times." That was in his day, all those years ago. Today, we live in a day that is even worse than in Paul's day. Evil days tempt us to despair and encourage us to give up and say we cannot do it. We cannot fulfill our mission. The day is dark. The hearts of men have grown cold. There is nothing we can do. But my friends, remember what Paul said. Make the most of every opportunity. My friends, I believe that although the days are dark, darker than in the time of Ephesus, God wants his people to stand up for truth, stand up for what is right in this age of perversion, and to do that which is right in his sight. Sometimes, my friends, we give up too soon. G. Campbell Morgan said this. He said, "The day of moral corruption offers special opportunities for the prosecution of great enterprises for the kingdom of God." And I believe that. Let us not despair as we come into this new year. Let us not live as if we have no hope, but let us make the most of every opportunity. Days of moral compromise offer incredible opportunities for the gospel. Look what happened in Paul's day. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and many were converted in one day, despite days of moral corruption. When the world around us seems to be going haywire, we have an incredible opportunity to display the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His power has not diminished. His power is still the same. He is able to change lives. Even the most hardened life, even the most evil person, even the most difficult person, he can change through the power of his might and of his Holy Spirit. Let us make the most of every opportunity that God gives us. The third point coming from this text, it says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." At the end of the day, that's what matters more than anything else, the Lord's will. It's not what we want to do. It's not our ideas and opinions, it is the opinion of our Creator God and Redeemer Jesus Christ. We should seek to live just following His will, following His footsteps, following the way He leads. We must live like Noah, Abraham, and Daniel. We must live like the prophets of old. We must live even as Jesus did, so that we can stand up in this perverted generation. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Did you know that in order for us to live successful Christian lives, we have to die? Yes, we have to die. We must die to self, and we must live for Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. My wants, my desires, my aspirations, I lay them down. And I live simply for Christ. That's the way to live, my friends. That's the way I want to live in 2018. I want the Lord to forgive me of all past sins and transgressions and make me a new person, ready to serve Him anew and afresh, living for His will. My friends, I believe we can be optimistic about the new year despite the darkness surrounding us. You know, it's a bit like being in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. On Friday, pessimism reigned. But on Sunday, as the truth slowly dawned that the Lord had risen from the dead, as that one great truth broke through, as they began to believe the best good news anyone could ever hear, sorrow turned to joy, grief turned to laughter, despair gave way to hope. My friends, we live on the other side of the empty tomb. Amen. There is every hope for us, because we as God's people have already been given the victory. Amen. I've read the book. It tells me in the book of Revelation that God's people will be victorious. Amen. It has a great ending. It has a powerful ending. So we should not live as defeated people. We should not be discouraged, but we should lift our heads up high. But let me say this, my friends. The devil is going to attack us. As God's people, the devil will attack us in many ways, many subtle ways. One of the greatest ways he discourages us, or attacks us, I should say, is through his greatest weapon of all, and that is discouragement. I would like to say that all of us were discouraged at one point in 2017. And I would say even as we come into 2018, we're going to be discouraged again. But my friends, when you get discouraged, look up. Look up to your hope. Man cannot help you. Jesus can. Look to him. Discouragement will come upon us. I'm bold enough to say that. But don't let discouragement overwhelm you and defeat you. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Make the most of every opportunity. So yes, Christians are both pessimists and optimists. But we are much more optimistic because though we see what is happening in the world around us, we know that Jesus Christ conquered the grave. And because he lives, we too will live. You know, I believe, my friends, these are great days to be alive. We may live in an evil, corrupt generation. The world may be collapsing, but we live in exciting times. God is going to use his people to do great things, great exploits. But we must be careful. We must make the most of every opportunity. We must walk circumspectly. You see, my friends, all these things are going to happen. We live in exciting days, amazing days, uncertain days, yes, frightening days. All these things are true at the same time. But when we see evil advancing in the world, keep in mind the words of Jesus when he said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." When you're discouraged, when you're down, let not your heart be troubled. When life seems to be out of control, when your finances are out of kilter, when there's problems in your family, problems in the church, let not your heart be troubled. Because the promise is sure, Jesus is coming. God is our strength and refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. If God is for us, who can be against us? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Don't let anything discourage you from your purpose in life. For each one of us has a great purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us in 2018. Do not let the enemy swerve you from your purpose. But redeem the time. Be careful how you walk. Do the will of the Lord. Why be a pessimist when we're living in the greatest days of history? Who knows? But we may be the generation that hears the trumpet call of God. Jesus may come back in our lifetime. If that is true, things will get better and worse at the same time. In any case, do not despair. We will receive the crown of life if we do not give up. So here we are, 2018, a new year, a year of opportunity, a blank canvas in front of us. The choice is ours, my friend, as we live in this dangerous, evil world. The choice is ours to remain a Christian, to remain firm, to remain solid, not to give in to doubt and despair, but to stand up. So let us be encouraged. Let not our hearts be troubled. Let us watch our steps. Let us redeem the time. Let us make the most of every opportunity. Let us seek to do God's will every day. And we will receive the crown of life one day. Amen.